Our text we're going to be looking at this morning is Luke chapter 22. You can go ahead and turn over there. In Luke chapter 19, we see the story of Jesus. He sends two of his disciples to get a donkey that would ultimately he would ride into the city of Jerusalem. I'm going to ask our deacons and wives that are serving this morning, Lord's Supper, if you guys will go ahead and come down front and be ready. We're going to be observing the Lord's Supper during the service this morning. Today is Palm Sunday, and as we look at Zechariah, the story of Jesus riding in the donkey is on in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey." Here, the prophet Zechariah is foretelling exactly what was going to take place. If you go to the book of Isaiah, you see a very descript picture of what Jesus Christ would suffer as he would die on the cross, ultimately for our sin. And we see that displayed all throughout the Old Testament. Jesus' disciples began to cry, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And the Pharisees in that day were always looking to find fault or point fault. They said, hey, they cried out to Jesus, "Rebuke your disciples," as they were crying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Ultimately, Jesus said in Luke 19, verse 40, he answered, "I tell you, if they were silent, the very stones would cry out." Think about for just a moment, folks, if you and I do not take opportunity to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who died on the cross for our sin, the one who rose again victoriously from the grave the third day. Because you folks, if we worship just a Savior on the cross, folks, it's not far, it doesn't cover our sin. Because yes, he died on the cross, but if he did not rise victoriously from the grave, folks, we'd be no better off today. But folks, we serve a risen Savior. So as Jesus died on the cross, he made possible a relationship with God the Father. And he says, if these followers of Christ are silent, the very rocks are going to cry out in worship. Sometimes I see people in worship and they don't participate for whatever reason. You know what? Sometimes people say, "Pastor, I don't have a good singing voice." And, you know, not everybody can sing like John or Nick or some of these ladies that sing on the praise team. And not everybody has the same gifts or abilities. Not everybody can play an instrument. But folks, I'm a firm believer that we're called, we are compelled to worship God. We are called to cry out and worship God. And God says if we don't, the rocks will cry out in worship of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's how important it is for you and I to worship the Savior, to spend time worshiping at his feet. And folks, it's not just enough to go and hear. It's not here to be entertained. We're here to lift up our voices, lift our hands, and worship the one who died for us. Palm Sunday, though, was a mixed bag. If you think about it, it was a time of celebration as Jesus would enter the city of Jerusalem. But it would also usher in a week of agony as Jesus would ultimately lay down his life on the cross of Calvary for our sins. So you can imagine, it's a mixed bag. It was a time of celebration as he's entering the city. But folks, there was another side to that story, because Jesus ultimately knew the plan of the Father would be that he would die on the cross for our sin. In our service this morning, we'll be observing the Lord's Supper. We're looking back and remembering this passage that we'll look at here in just a moment in Luke 22, where Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room. They didn't fully understand what was about to take place. But folks, they were experiencing history, his story in the making. They were experiencing a movement of God, God's fulfillment of making redemption available for all mankind. In the Old Testament, they would go to the temple and offer blood sacrifices. And folks, it was to atone for their sins. But folks, year after year, they would have to continually go back and offer those sacrifices. But it was looking to the day that Jesus would ultimately come as the Lamb of God and take away the sin of the entire world. Folks, they're seeing the story of God unfold. And so we look here in our text in Luke chapter 22. Look at verse 14. It says, when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, you can imagine, you've seen pictures of the Last Supper as Jesus is sitting there with his 12 disciples. You're seeing all of the people that he had invested his entire life. These were men that he was discipling. He was pouring his life into for 3.5 years. And we see these men here are gathered around the table. He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you as the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another, which of them it could be who was going to do this. You know, we normally look at a passage in 1 Corinthians, and we talk about, as we look at observing the Lord's table, and the Apostle Paul says it's vitally important for the believer to be in right relationship with God before you take the Lord's Supper. And so I believe it's important. It says, let a man examine himself before you participate in the Lord's Supper. So this morning, before we even get into the rest of our text, before we read the rest of it, before we take of the Lord's Supper, we're going to have a time of silent prayer and a time of just reflecting on your own life. This is not a time to think about the person beside you and what they posted on Facebook, what they've been up to lately, and maybe they need a lot of Jesus in their life. This is really a time for you to reflect at the Word of God and look at your own life. And see, what is it in my life that I need to get right with God? And this is that moment to confess those sins to God and get right with Him. So let's bow our heads together in prayer, and let's ask for the Holy Spirit of God to cleanse us as we get ready to participate in communion. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, what a privilege to experience the love of God. This morning, we come before you in awe of who you are, in awe that you would love us so much. God, before we reflect on that great sacrifice, God, we want to come to before you with clean hearts. As David says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. He says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Lord, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way within me. God, I pray this morning that you would cleanse us of our sin. God, we want to worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. God, we want your presence to fall upon us. God, we want to experience your presence in a fresh way this morning. And God, we don't want anything between our soul and the Savior. God, would you cleanse us? Would you make us whole? Thank you, Father. This morning, in our text in Luke chapter 22, we see a reminder of how raw and how real that evening was. As Jesus gathered in the upper room, Jesus told them in verse 15, he wanted to observe the Passover feast with them, this last time before he would suffer the death on the cross. So taking the significance this morning is we've observed Lord's Supper many, many times through the years. But as you look at the bread, as you look at the cup that's there, he was looking forward to just a few hours, just a couple days before he would ultimately lay down his life on the cross of Calvary. And so it was very real. It was very raw in that moment. And taking the significance, this would be the last time they would be together, all of them, in that one room. Maybe the last time all 12 would be together. You know the story of what happens with Judas. It's the last time before Jesus would lay down his life on the cross of Calvary. As we see in verse 19 and 20, he says, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you or broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant of my blood. He's telling them, he says, my body is about to be broken. My blood is getting ready to be poured out or spilled out, ultimately for your redemption. I'm taking your place on that cross, on the hillside of Calvary. I'm taking what you deserve, the payment, the punishment for your sin. I'm going to bear all of your sin on your on my body on the cross of Calvary. And he was telling them what was getting ready to take place. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Folks, every time we observe the Lord's Supper, we're pausing and reflecting back over 2,000 years ago to that moment that Jesus said, hey, I'm going to take David's place. I'm going to take Josh's place. I'm going to take, and insert your name there, because he took your place on the cross. And he's telling them, he says, my body is getting ready to be broken. My blood will be spilled out for your redemption and for the sins of the entire world. And folks, all of those years prior to that, where they were going and offering those blood sacrifices, was about to come to an end. Things from this moment forward would be forever different in a good way, because Christ is making a possible a relationship with God. They knew this day would one day happen, but folks, now they're experiencing it in real time, firsthand. Jesus identified the bread as a symbol of his broken body on behalf of his followers. He says, I'm going to take the suffering. I'm going to bear the weight of your sin on my body on the cross of Calvary. He identified the bread as that symbol. His command to do in remembrance of me is a perpetual command. So as you're worshiping God, pause and remember the sacrifice of Christ. So over 2,000 years later, we're still observing that command today to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But then things would get even more real, if you can imagine. How could it become any more real when Jesus is getting ready to say, hey, this juice, this wine that you're getting ready to drink represents my blood? How could it get any more real than that? And Jesus goes on in verse 21. He says, but behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. Talk about hearing a pin drop. All of a sudden, Jesus says, the very person who's going to betray me and give me up is sitting here amongst us. There's a thief in the room. There's a liar in the group. There's someone amongst us who is going to betray me. He says, for the Son of Man goes as has been determined. In other words, he says, God already had a plan. Nothing has changed. God's plan is getting ready to be fulfilled. He says, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. You can only imagine. Everybody in the room is sitting there with their mouth, the jaw dropped open. You ever hear a shocking announcement? And you're sitting there going, what? You've got to be kidding me. What in the... And everybody's looking around at the people around them and saying, is it me? Is it you? There's a sense of shock and awe as Jesus is saying, the person is sitting here, their hands are resting on the table. Jesus was letting Judas know that he knew he would betray him. We also know that Peter was sitting there. And we know just a few days later, Peter is going to deny Jesus three different times. So you're looking at a group of men who've been sitting at the feet of Jesus that have watched him heal. They have watched him heal the sick, the lame, the blind, raise people from the dead. He's turned water into wine. He's fed the 5,000. He's done all of these miraculous things. They have seen his deity. They've seen his power on display more than anyone else at any other time. His disciples are sitting here before him, this intimate moment. They were sitting at the very table, and you can imagine the shock and awe. They began to question each other at who would betray Jesus. No one suspected Judas. His pious, loyal, outward demeanor didn't match the corruption of his heart. But ultimately, Judas did not believe. Ultimately, Judas chose not to follow Jesus. He chose not to give everything and say, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you notice, just a few days later, as he's hanging on the cross, Jesus is hanging there, and there's a criminal on both sides of him. And one says, if you believe, if you're truly the Son of God, why don't you come down off that cross and save yourself and save us too? The other man says, hey, he is the Son of God. Why are you saying we deserve this? But he doesn't. He is the sinless Son of God. And Jesus said, behold, today you'll be with me in paradise. In other words, one man who was hanging on the cross beside Jesus chose to blaspheme the name of Christ, and he rejected Jesus as the Son of God. The other man hung there on the cross, and he believed, and he placed his faith and trust in Christ. And folks, he is today in heaven and will be there for all of eternity. Folks, the reality is this morning is, as Jesus was sitting there at the table, there were those who did not believe. This morning, maybe you're sitting here this morning, you've never truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Can I say the most important decision you can ever make in this life is what you will do with Jesus? Because you see, Jesus already paid for your sin debt. Even though you weren't even alive then, even though you hadn't even been thought about as far as being born, folks, before the foundation of the earth, Jesus knew you and he loved you. And he would die on the cross over 2,000 years ago there on the hill of Golgotha's hill. He would die for your sin and for my sin. This morning, what you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, and believe that you are a sinner. Folks, we are all sinners bound for hell. The Word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God or fallen short of God's glory. But folks, ultimately, it's what we do with Jesus. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But he says, for whosoever or whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13. He gives us a way to God, a path to God. Whoever calls on the name of Jesus, the name that every knee will one day bow and every tongue will one day confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is the name that we have to receive. This morning, Hebrews 9:22 says, without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness or remission of sin. Folks, you cannot be saved unless except that Jesus died on the cross for your sin. So this morning, it has nothing to do with us, but it has everything to do with what Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary to pay for our sin. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I beg of you, I call on you this morning to confess your sin to a holy God and to receive the free gift of eternal life that's made possible through Jesus, God. So this morning as we observe the Lord's Supper, I want you to reflect back to that last supper as Jesus sat there reclining around the table. It says, I want you to take this bread and pass it out amongst yourselves and eat it. I want you to drink of the cup. I want you to do so in remembrance of me, because that The bread represents my body that was broken on the cross. The juice represents my blood that was poured out and shed for your sin, that you might be saved. And all the while they're sitting there, Judas is sitting at the table and will soon betray Jesus. You observe the Lord's table this morning. Maybe look at it from that perspective. A few moments, we're going to have a word of prayer. I invite you to, as a family, if your kids are sitting somewhere else in the building, go find mom and dad and take the Lord's Supper as a family or as a group. And you can go up and we practice open communion, which means you don't have to be a member here to participate, but you do have to be a born-again Christian and you have to be living in right relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we had that moment of prayer earlier. But this morning, we want to encourage you, if you're a born-again child of God, you're living a right relationship with Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to participate this morning at the Lord's table and remember the sacrifice that was made on the cross of Calvary for our sin. All of the bread this morning, we're living in 2019, so I have to tell you, this is gluten-free, so you don't have to worry about any of those things, but as you go and observe the Lord's table this morning, let's remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross of Calvary for our sin. I'm going to ask Brother Keith Smith if he will come and thank the Lord for his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, his body that was broken, his blood that was shed for our sin. If you would pray and give thanks for this, and then we'll observe the Lord's table in just a moment.
Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for loving us so much, Lord. Just thank you that you went to the cross, Lord. Lord, that you shed your blood for us, Lord. We were not deserving of that, and you loved us so much that you did that for us. And Lord, that you opened the door so we can have a relationship with God and fellowship with Him, Lord. And Lord, we just appreciate that and love you so much for doing that. And Lord, just as we take this today, Lord, just remember everything you did for us, Lord, and do for us. And Lord, just thank you for loving us so much. Praise all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Coming. We'll be set up at the front and back of the different aisles as they get in place. If you'll come and as a family, you pick up the piece of bread, you dip it in the cup, and then as you eat it, it's a remembrance of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross of Calvary for our sin. When you're ready, you can go and observe the Lord's Supper as a family.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song. I'm deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears are gone. 'Cause I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Your love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from our bondage. We're the sons and the daughters. Let us sing our freedom.
Just a couple more verses with you. Look over on chapter 22 of Luke. Look at verse 39. It's continuing after that moment there in the upper room. It says, he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. There appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them praying and resting. No, he says he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. This passage, the entire story of the redemption of man, shows the human side of God. We see the human side of Christ is how he gathers there, knowing full well the pain and suffering that's to come, knowing that in just a matter of hours, he's going to be beaten, he's going to be scourged, he'll be beat with the cat of nine tails. And folks, if you've ever seen the Passion of the Christ, the movie, the raw agony of pain and suffering that our Savior faced was because he loved you and he loved me. And folks, this passage allows us to get a glimpse of that. He wrestled with the plan of God that included his suffering and death. And what does he say? He says, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me, or let this cup pass from me. Now, if there's any other way possible for your plan to be accomplished, remove this cup from me. But folks, excuse me, I love the fact that our Savior loved us so much more that he was willing to submit to the Father's plan. He knew the Father's plan. It didn't remove the pain and the suffering. It did not remove the fact that the Father would ultimately turn his back on his Son as he's bearing the sins of the entire world in his body. But look at verse 42 of our text. He says, Jesus responded, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. If you're ever going through a deep time where you're wrestling with the plan of God, know that, folks, you're not the only one who struggled trying to justify what is it that God is trying to do in my life? What is the plan he's trying to accomplish? Because it seems like it's a lot of pain. It seems like it's a lot of suffering. It seems like I'm struggling every day of my life just to try to figure out what it is that God has for me. How often in life do we want to give up and quit on God? Folks, Jesus sat there wrestling and saying, if there's any other way possible, would you let this cup be removed from me? But when the tough times come in life, and folks, they're going to come, don't give up, because that's when God does his greatest work in your life. Folks, it's during those moments of testing and trial, he's perfecting us and making us more like Jesus Christ, and he's accomplishing his plan for our life every day. Folks, as you're trusting him, James says, count it all joy. Why? Because ultimately, he's perfecting us. He's using these moments to make us more like Jesus. Paul says, don't worry about me. And I believe it's the book of Philippians. He says, about the suffering, the pain I've experienced. He said it all worked out for the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, it propelled the gospel of Jesus Christ further. Any suffering that I do in this life only makes me more like Jesus and hopefully points others to the Savior. Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So this week, when you're faced with difficult choices and decisions, reflect back on the earthly side of our Heavenly Father as he sat there agonizing over the impending pain and suffering he would experience on the cross of Calvary. He said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. God wants to use you to be a light, a city on a hill, a light and salt to a dark world. Folks, any suffering we experience in this life doesn't even compare to the pain and the agony that Jesus Christ bore when he died on the cross for your sin and for mine. This week as we go, we prepare, read the gospel accounts of what Jesus suffered on the cross of Calvary. Read Isaiah 55 and look at what Jesus Christ ultimately bore on his body on the cross of Calvary. If you have kids still at home, talk to them about the suffering that Jesus endured, the pain, the death, the burial, the resurrection, why we celebrate Easter. Because folks, I promise you, the majority of them it's hard to even wrap your mind around it as an adult today, but they can't fathom this pain and the suffering that Jesus Christ endured for our sin. We're faced with those difficult decisions this week. Reflect on the will of the Heavenly Father. Nevertheless, not my will, God, but yours be done. You're facing a difficult circumstance in life. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Here am I, Lord. If you can use me for your glory, Samuel talks about, here am I, send me. Lord, if God is speaking to your heart this morning, maybe you've been wrestling with a difficult circumstance or situation, maybe at home, and maybe with your health, maybe at your job, maybe with your family. What if we gave in and said, God, I want your will to be accomplished. I'm not trying to make it about myself. Lord, I want your will to be accomplished in my life. And God, if you can use me for the building of your kingdom, if you can use me to point others to Jesus Christ, Lord, I am your servant. Use me, not my will, but yours be done. Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning, what a privilege to gather together as your church. Lord, just reflect this Palm Sunday on the suffering of our Savior. Lord, in a moment we're going to sing, but Lord, there may be someone today who's never placed their faith and trust in you for salvation. God, may this be the moment that they understand the love of the Father and how you sent the most precious thing, your Son Jesus, to earth to die on the cross to take our place so that we don't have to die without Christ and spend all of eternity in a place called hell. But God, you made possible a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lord, those of us who place our faith and trust in you will have all of eternity to worship you in the presence of God, to worship our Savior Jesus Christ for all of eternity. Lord, if there's some that do not know you as Lord and Savior, God, may today be that moment that they get their salvation settled. Lord, for those of us that know Christ as Savior, Lord, may we leave today with a renewed sense of purpose of what you've accomplished on the cross of Calvary for our sin. And God, have a desire to it not be about us, but not my will, but yours be done. God, may you use us this week to point that neighbor, that coworker, that friend to a relationship with Jesus Christ. God, may they see something so different in us that they'd come out to church next Sunday and Lord, they hear that the love that Jesus Christ has for us is beyond any human comprehension. Lord, and that you loved us so much that you took our place. You took our punishment. You died for us. And Lord, you make possible that right relationship with God. Speak to our hearts. Lord, help us leave here this morning changed, anticipating what you want to accomplish in our life this week.